Amen. It is good to see each and every one of you here this morning. I want to welcome you. And we are free. We are free indeed. We are free in Christ. Move that around. We'll see how this works. I feel a little more freer already right now. Got a little more movement going on up here. It is. I hope that you guys have had a good one. Any good to be able to come and worship together with brothers and sisters in Christ? Isn't it good to be able to sing songs of praise to our Savior and our Lord? We come here today, beautiful day. God is moving. God is working in our midst. He's working in the lives of those around you. He's doing that. God is doing that. And one of the things that I desire for every person is that we don't miss Christ. That we don't miss nothing. That we don't miss all that God is doing in and through the body, in and through. I want Him to do things in me. I want Him to work in me. I want to hear Him. Actually, last night was kind of interesting. He woke me up around 3, literally 3 o'clock, and me and him didn't go back to bed. He wouldn't let me go back to sleep. We were just talking. I mean, I was just praying and talking. It's just good. So when you wake up, it's not that you just can't sleep. It's the Lord wants to talk a little more. And I would encourage you to go there. Spend time with the Lord in prayer. Even if it's late at night, early in the morning like that, just go and have those conversations for sure. This morning, if you've got your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me over to the book of Colossians. That's where our verse for the week comes from. And really, we're free. He rescued us from the domain of darkness, and He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the freedom of sin, the forgiveness of sin. We're free from sin. One of the questions I've been asked a lot over the past, I don't know, since we moved up here, is tell me about the church. A lot of people back home or around, family and different ones have asked, tell me about the church. What are they like? And you know, it's easy really to talk about you guys because God is working, God is moving. And one of the descriptions that I say, well, I'm slowly getting to know them. The more and the more we are able to take our mask off, the more time I'm able to spend, I'm getting to know people a little better. Slowly, it's a process. But one of the things that I can say that I have seen just by watching you, even what I was talking about with you know, guys, there's some needs. There's some needs in the church of helping send students to camp this summer. I have absolutely no doubt that God will handle that through this body of believers that He has assembled here. One of the things that I tell people is it's a loving church. It's a loving church. You feel it. You sense it among the believers, among the congregation. You sense it on Sunday morning. You sense it on Wednesday night. It's a loving church. And it's a church that, you know what, I'm really ready to see it when we're able to kind of meander around. Right now we're a church that comes in and sort of plops down because that's really what we have to do. But eventually the group over here will be able to go see this group over there and vice versa. We'll get to kind of mingle around and get to see each other again. COVID has changed so many things. But that up there is one of the descriptions that I try to use a lot is it's a gospel-driven church. It's a church to where the gospel is central, to where the gospel is sort of our motivating factor. It's our purpose for being. It's our reason for existing. It's the gospel. You know, there is no church without the gospel. There is no church without the freedom of sin. If it were not for what Christ did there on the cross, how messed up we were. We would still be. We were so lost. He transferred us. He really did. He took us from a destiny of eternal destruction, and He made us His very own. And you know, as we hear that more and more, and I believe as we allow that truth to penetrate us, and we hear it often enough, we start living that way. Look at... keep your finger there, and I want you to go to a verse. Go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to turn there. Keep your fingers there in the Colossians because we're coming back. What motivates you? What gets you going every single day? What moves you to do the things that you do? Yes, jobs and careers and kids have got to get to school and, you want to keep your appointments and things, but I want you to look at what Paul says. Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 14 and 15. It says, "For the love of Christ controls us." Think about that statement for a second. The love of Christ controls us. If there's something that I would love for people to be able to say about me long after my life here on earth is done, is that, you know what? Christ did something through that boy. God got hold of him and God used him in a powerful way, and it was as if the Spirit of God would just take his hand and jump up in him and just use him as his mouthpiece. Jesus controls us. The love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, listen, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they may live, no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on our behalf. We don't live for ourselves anymore. We live for Christ. His love controls us. His love dictates our lives. His love controls the interactions. It motivates us. It spurs us on. We can't stay where we are. We can't stay content and complacent. We can't stay at the spiritual level, the level of maturity that we have arrived at. Every person is given. When you trust Christ as your Savior, and I have to stop there, because when I talk to the church, I'm talking to believers, but you know, on a Sunday morning, there's some that come in that hear these songs and they're like, "What is it? Why are they holding their hands up? Why are they all excited? Why are they amening? Why are they clapping? Why are they reading along? Why when that guy up there on the stage says, turn the Bible, every one of them just does what he says do? Why? I don't get it." The Bible says the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, to those that do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. You've just not met Jesus yet. You've not come into a relationship with Christ. The Bible says we're all of sin and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We all make mistakes. Every person. There's not a perfect person in this room. There was only one perfect, and they killed him on a cross. The consequence of that sin, the wages of that sin, is death, eternal separation from God. We talked about this past Wednesday night. Many will say in that day, didn't we do a lot of amazing things? And he'll say, depart from me, because I never knew you. He didn't know you. Every person that is appointed unto man wants to die, and then there's going to be a judgment. And at that judgment, the only thing that matters is not how much education you had. It's not how many people you helped. It's not even how many kids and students you sent off to camp. It's what did you do with this Jesus? Was he just a man, or was he your Savior? Was he just a story that guy up front got all excited about, and those people around the room got all excited about, or was he your personal Lord and Savior? See, when you trust Christ as your Savior, you no longer think the way you used to think. You no longer want to do those things that you once wanted to do. The love of Christ begins to control you. Your passions become His passions. Your wants become His wants. You wake up and you do not just go out and do your own thing. You're conscious of the world around you because you realize that you are His ambassador. You're His son or daughter. To have that relationship, you simply trust Him. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. With the mouth you confess and with the heart you believe, resulting in salvation. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. God just wants you to trust His Son. The will of the Father is to believe in the only begotten of the Father, the Son. And when you come into that relationship with Christ, when you begin, you start as a brand new baby. The Bible says, Jesus says there to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand it either. He said, how in the world can you go back into your mother and be born again? And Jesus says, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. But you must be born again. I'm telling you, if you slipped in today, you must be born again. You must have a relationship with Christ, or it is foolishness. It is foreign. It is way out there. Look at what it says. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. It becomes personal. When we trust Christ, it becomes personal. It's no longer their religion, it's mine. It's no longer their relationship, it's mine. It's no longer what they're getting excited about, it's what I'm getting excited about. Guys, that's what drives us. That's what drives the church, is the relationship we have with Christ. That's what motivates us, is our love that we see. Here's how it works. We see what he did for us, and in turn, we do it for others. That's it. You went to seminary and got a doctorate degree to learn that? Yep. Silly, isn't it? It's not rocket science. We see what he did for us, and we turn around and we go do it for others. We see the love that he poured out on us, and we go and we pour that love out on others. We go be Christ to them. The world don't see Christ today. They see us. The world don't see the Messiah. They see his children. They see his brothers and sisters. They see us, is those who have trusted in him. We are what they see. And how we live is what they think is how he lived. So that motivates us. His love controls us. Look there in Colossians. There's a story. Not really a story. It's the whole letter is based on it. Paul writes the letter to the church here in Colossae, and he's thanking them. But I want you to see what motivated them. Colossians chapter 1. And let's just get the whole context of what's going on. Start all the way up at verse 1. You'll get who the letter's written by, and you'll get who it's from and who it's to, and then we'll get to verse 3, but read verse 1 and 2. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to who is the recipients of this letter, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. That's who he's writing it to. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. A very familiar introduction, much like many other of Paul's letters. Verse 3. We give thanks to God. Listen to this. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith, here's the process. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. See, that's how it works. We experience the love of Christ and it transforms us. You experience the freeing. We sung about it all morning. Free, free. Forever we're free. We're free. And when you experience that freedom, you're different. And it motivates you to be different. It motivates you to act different because you're controlled no longer by yourself. You're giving him the keys. Keys. There they are. I knew I brought keys in here. You're giving him the keys to your life. I'm in a church. Church, we don't have a lot of keys, but some of you have lots of keys. A big key ring. But you're giving him, here's what we do. The love of Christ controls us. Here, Jesus is the keys to my life. There's lots of consequences to that. You can look in every cubby. You can look in every secret place. You can look in everything. You can also, here's the keys to the car. Go drive it. Where are we going today, Lord? How do you want me to act today, Lord? Here's the keys to my mouth. Here's the keys to my eyes, what I watch. Here's the keys to my hands, what I do. Here's the keys to my feet, where I go. Here's the keys to my mind. You control me. The love of Christ controls us. I don't have no more keys. That's all the keys. Lord, I give you everything I am. I give you all that I am. And what has happened is the church here at Colossae had experienced Christ in such a way, and they had learned, and they had heard that, look, one died for all. So that means if I trust in Him, I can have a relationship with Him, and I don't have to die. No, that's exactly right. You don't have to die. You trust Christ, you will die physically, but you will not die spiritually. You will be made alive spiritually when you trust in Him and believe in Him with all your heart. You'll be made new. And it controls you. It makes you different. You think different. You don't want to hide things. You don't want to say, yeah, but if I give you the keys, that means I don't go to the places I want to go anymore. But you know, here's the cool thing about a relationship with Christ. The more you fall in love with Him, the more you experience Him, you realize that, hey, His ways are better than my ways, and His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His will for my life is perfect. So I can either continue to sneak out every so often and try to take control back and get myself in a mess, or I can just say, look, you're Lord completely. You're Lord completely. And when we say you're Lord completely, it transforms us, and we start looking at the world through a totally different set of lenses. We see people the way Christ sees people. You know, I was thinking last night, 3 o'clock conversation, me and God, we were talking about this. And it wasn't audible. I don't hear audible voices. It's just like, where does this come from? I'm just laying there in the middle of the night, and I start praying, hey, your servant is listening. And God starts filling me with all of this stuff, and you get the overflow. And I started thinking, you know, there are people in our past that have hurt us. There are people in our life that we have come in and out of their world, and they have done some mean things to us. They've hurt our family. They've hurt our friends. They've hurt people close to us. But you know, this hit me so hard last night. There's nothing anyone has ever done to me so bad that they deserve eternal punishment in hell. Think about it. Think about it. There's nobody, really, they're not that bad. They're people. They're trying. They just made a mistake. They spouted off and they shouldn't. They wanted the last cookie and they got there before you did. You know, it's really that silly sometimes while we're mad at people. And we zap them and we mark them off and we have nothing else to do with them. But then we start thinking that, hey, that person is a soul and that person is going to spend eternity somewhere. That scripture, it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment, that even includes them. And you know, when the love of Christ is controlling us, we no longer, the bitterness goes away, the envy, the jealousy, the desire to get even. Have you ever wanted to get even? Been hurt so bad you just sit there and grit your teeth and you're like, you just wait. But then here's what happens for a believer. Days happen and the Spirit of God starts moving over your life and that horrible event gets smaller and smaller and smaller. That's the grace of God. I can only imagine the people in Colossae, they had folks that had stole their last cookie and got the attaboys that they deserve, got the raises they deserve, the promotions they deserve, the guys and the girls that they deserved. All the silly things that we do to zap people out of our lives, they probably had it too. But when Christ found them, He started washing over those bitternesses and those angers and those resentments and those hurts that are real. But guys, in all fairness, have we not hurt others also? In all fairness, have we not hurt people at times as well? We're really quick to hold that group one standard and yeah, but with us. We hold them to one standard and then when it comes to us, yeah, but sort of hypocritical if we're honest about it. The church at Colossae, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, notice that. There was love inside the church. There was love inside the church. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just jump out on a limb here and assume you guys like each other. Okay? Let's get that out of the way. I was doing the math. I was laying there last night, and I can't get the math right. I came here in the middle of October, and do I start with November, or do I count October? I'm confused. How do I do that? Do I say November, December, January, February, March, or do I go October, November, December, January, February, March? Wendy, help me. Which one is it, first or second? First one. So it's either 5 or 6 months. See, I need help. So 5 months. Here I am at the five-month mark, and I'm just assuming you guys like each other. 5 months into this thing, you're starting to take your mask off. You're starting to, some of you sit where you want to. You're all getting giddy and happy and just all over yourself. And I hope you like each other. Because here's the deal. That is an absolute essential. That's got to happen. If not, we can almost put the brakes on everything, because if there is all of that going on in this room, if there are believers in this room that don't like that group or don't like this group or has angst against that one over there or has angst against that one over there and just cannot get beyond it and I don't care, then there's a problem. God's not going to really bless it like it should. God's spirit is not pleased like it should be. I'm not saying we've got to be perfect, but guys, there's got to be a love among the family. There's got to be a love in the body that the world looks at, a love that covers a multitude of sins, a love that overlooks some things, a love that forgives quickly, forgets quickly, a love that just, hey, I don't agree with you, I got a different opinion with you, but doggone it, we're going to worship Jesus together, period, because that's not important as nearly as important as He is. They saw Christ. Church, you want to see God do something radical in you? Let the love of Christ have control of those bitter places. Let the love of Christ have control of those, yeah, but Brother Shannon, you don't know how bad they hurt me. You don't know what she said. You don't know what he said. But when you give him control, then you look at him and not what she said or he said. You look at the fact that he saved me. That is radical. He saved me. He saved me. What's it matter what you did or you say or you think? Or y'all think Christ saved me? I'm not here to please y'all. I'm here to please Him. And when we get our mind more focused on living for Him, all of this stuff fades away, and the enemy's attacks and the landmines and the trips, they all just kind of get faded away because I just see Christ. Church of Colossae had a love for Christ. They loved Christ. They had a love for Christ which overflowed into a love for one another. Thus, gospel-driven church. A gospel-driven church is a church that the gospel is what drives us. It's what motivates us. It's what keeps us moving. Yes, it's what makes us do missions. Yes, it's what makes us love. Yes, it's what makes us give and go and serve. but it's what makes us love one another first and foremost. Guys, we're going to be around the throne together forever and ever and ever, doing whatever He desires for us to do. We got to get along down here. We got to be together down here. And you know, there's some of you hearing this, but there's some of you gritting your teeth in your spirit. Because you're saying, brother, you've only been here 5 months. You wait till you run into her. You wait till you meet him. She's a buzzsaw. You know what I mean? I ain't got that much laughter out of y'all in 5 months. But that strikes a nerve, doesn't it? But I'm telling you, you better get over it. You got to get over it, because here's the thing. It ain't hurting them, it's hurting you. It's not robbing them from anything. It's robbing you from everything. They're going about their business like, woo-hoo! And you're sitting there, urgh! They're happy. They don't even know what they did most of the time. And you're sitting there holding a grudge and being bitter. You know I'm telling the truth, church. Don't let Satan rob you. But when you're a gospel-driven church and the love of Christ controls us and everything is filtered through the fact that He saved me, no matter what just happened, no matter what he or she just done, no matter if they just did it again, Jesus loves me. Wow. If that can't get a wow out of you, Jesus loves me. Wow. That's awesome. That's exciting. If that can't excite you, then you got to check your relationship with Him. Because you know you. He's the sovereign God of this universe. He's infinitely perfect, and none of us are. And we mess up, and yet He still loves us. Wow, that is huge. That's what motivated them. That's what drove them. They saw the bigness of the gospel. They saw the bigness of the forgiveness. They saw how vast it was. And that's what moved them forward. Look how far they went. Look, because, let's go back to verse 3. Let's read it in context. You got to read it to get it all. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because, what is it? Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it's constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also. And here's the kicker. Since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Guys, when we experience the gospel, the good news of the forgiveness of sins that He transferred us, He saved us, He rescued us from a domain of darkness, and brought us over and made us His very own. And we get to the fact that we don't get over that when we fully swallow the end of Romans 7. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will forgive me and free me from this body of death? And we experience that Romans 8, 1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. When we experience Christ, all this other stuff, the sillinesses, the angers, the resentments, the bitternesses, the jealousies, the infighting that exists just fades away. When we truly experience and learn and grow into, and that light bulb goes off, that wow, although I did nothing to deserve it, you saved me. Although I brought nothing to the table, who in the world am I? But you saved me. I'll do anything for you. I'll serve you with my whole heart. I'll give, I'll go, I'll pray, I'll do it. I don't know what I'm bringing, but I'm bringing. God must have saw fit something in me. God's got a plan for me. I'm I don't really know all the ins and outs of it, but here I am. I'll go, I'll do, I'll be. When it's not just something that we talk about on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, but it's on a Monday night, you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning again and you can't sleep. And instead of your first thought, I'm calling the doctor. You say, God, that preacher said this past Sunday that when I'm waking up, that may be you wanting to talk. I'm listening. Your servant's listening. And then you just go into prayer. Lord, tell me, show me. God, what's going on here? Talk to me, Lord. And your spirit begins to listen and he begins to talk and you begin to see afresh and anew and your relationship grows. And guys, it becomes more than just a Sunday morning, Wednesday night conversation. It becomes a way of life. It becomes something that's, hey, you want to pick up your Bible or you want to put your phone down and you want to study God's Word or here's what happens. This is real. I experience it regularly. You say, Lord, I know I need to talk to you. And then that silly phone is sitting there and you're convicted and you say, get on, I got to stay here. That's when you're growing. Because you're not content with, hey, I checked that off. I'm done. Let's go see what's happening on Facebook. Let's go check Instagram. Let's go read some Twitter. Let's go see how Alabama basketball is doing. Or let's go see what baseball is doing. When you stop accepting the teasers from the enemy and you see above it and you see that, hey, this is nothing but a scheme and a fiery dart to keep me away from my Savior. Lord, forgive me. And fruit is bared. It says in that verse, it's constantly being bared all throughout the whole world. You want to know what I... naively, but on faith that God sent us here for a purpose far bigger than any single one of us can wrap our minds around at this very moment. This is a gospel-driven church. It's going to be led as a gospel-driven church. Its focus is a gospel-driven ministry. Its passion is gospel-led. The love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ is our motivating factor. We go out there, we're not talking about a preacher, we're not talking about music, we're not talking about programs, we're not talking about events, we're talking about, let me tell you what my Savior is doing. Let me tell you what God is absolutely showing out on that hill. God is doing something. It's not man-centered ministry. It's gospel-centered ministry. It's good news. It's good news that all of Northport, Tuscaloosa, and surrounding areas need. That's why I'll say it again. If you're watching out there, if you're tuning in and visiting from whatever, I think everybody ought to come to Chapel Hill. And I say it unashamedly. I say it with confidence. Why? Because I know who the head of this church is. It's Christ. And guys, don't miss him. Don't miss what he's doing. Don't miss what he's doing and what he's about to do. Don't miss him. I know life is real, and I know sicknesses are real, and I know busyness is real. One of the things I ask the guys all the time, tell me about summer. Oh, it's going, you just wait. It's going to drop off. Well, let me go ahead and tell you at my five-month in part. Yes, you all need a break, but if you just drop off just because it's pretty weather, shame on you. I hope you get no bites. I hope you get rain at the beach. I hope you get ringworms from the beach. I hope you get, what else can you get? I hope you get diseases from the beach and the lake and the river, and pick a spot. I do. I wish it on you. I love you. Don't miss what God's doing. Don't miss what God's doing. Father God in heaven, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, we want to be obedient. We want to walk in a manner worthy of the name of Jesus. We want to please you in all aspects of our life. We want to be found faithful. We want to be found in the center of your perfect will. God, if you come today, if you come before this prayer ends, you see we have no other desire in our heart than to please you, than to make much of the name of King Jesus. You are worthy. You are holy. You are good. You are our Lord and you are our Savior. We give you our lives. We give you the keys to every bit of us. In Jesus' name, amen.